Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name's Joey Weaver. He's Mike McDaniel. Mike, we got some bowl games ahead of us. We got a bowl game and a playoff game in the rear view. How you doing? You ready to go talk some ACC?
Couple days till Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Where's your cheer? No cheer on the show. Joey's got the cheer. I've got the cheer. You just look like some Grinch over there.
The big yawn. Perfect timing.
No Grinch here. I was actually having, this is related, just had a conversation with you guys about this. I just confirmed a couple of minutes ago with my wife what we got my kid for Christmas. I was getting questions about it. And Kate cleared all the gifts with me, told me what we were getting. I said okay to all of them. But people were asking me at a Christmas party I had at my house last night what we were getting Noah for Christmas. And let me tell you, I was not ready for that quiz.
Why would you ask me that?
That's one of those tests where the teacher gives you the answers in class. The only problem is you didn't go to class. Yeah.
A bad dream. Yeah.
Yeah. So we shored that up before I entered my office to hit record this evening. So now I have answers when people ask me questions.
There you go. Well, we know Noah's a listener to the podcast. We don't want to spoil anything for him, so we don't have to go into too much detail on that for tonight.
Yeah, correct.
There you go.
Just in case.
There you go. All right. Mike, we're live. YouTube.com/@the ACC Football Podcast. It is about 11 o'clock on Monday, December the 22nd. As mentioned, we are just hours away from Christmas Day, basically. So Merry Christmas to all the folks listening to this. Happy Hanukkah if you've wrapped up that celebration recently. Happy Kwanzaa, happy Festivus, you know, whatever your winter celebration of choice is. Hope you're enjoying it. Hope you're having a good holiday season. Please hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button if you have not already on YouTube. We'd appreciate that. We got some folks in the chat with us tonight, staying up late with us on a Monday night. As mentioned, we've got a couple of games to recap. We got some more games to preview. We got a lot of stuff going on here within the ACC. Go check out the Discord, by the way. Producer Scott in the house. You want to tell us about the Discord?
Discord's been fun. The link's in the description on YouTube and audio, so wherever you're checking this out on, scroll down and you'll see a hot link to the Discord. So you can join the Discord. We've got team threads. We've got general threads. The game day chat was popping off on the weekend for the playoff game. It's been a fun time for everyone. It's going to be a good way to keep up with the people in the off season, because as it's been admitted on this show, these two like to say they're going to record shows and they just don't. So yeah, join the Discord.
There's a comment from Will Secor here. Love the hat setup, Joey. And if you're in our Discord, you know what joke I made off air about Joey's hat before the last time we hit record.
Yep. A joke that we don't want to rehash here on a live show that's going to go out to the millions, but if you're in the Discord, you heard that.
The tens, but sure.
Literally dozens.
But our podcast could go on Netflix at any time, so we got to make sure that we don't piss off too many advertisers.
That's right. That's right. You know, we're one DMCA away from Netflix, probably. I don't know.
Although Netflix would probably be a better fit for the content that I produce on this particular show.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Fair enough. Anything else before we get into a Roback rapid? Is there a rapid recap? What are we doing here, Scott? What's the plan?
I didn't really have a plan for a rapid recap. You could recap some small news that isn't game related. You could just say the ad read. You could do whatever you want. There's two recaps and five previews on the show. So you do what you want.
That's right. All right. Rapid recap. As a reminder, brought to you by Roback.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 20% off your first order. Polos, t-shirts, hoodies, all sorts of athleisure wear. Highly recommended. It is super comfortable. It looks fantastic. We love it. You will love yours. They got the game day collection, all the individual ACC schools, except for one in particular. I think it's Stanford. Sorry, Stanford. Everyone else, you've got the game day collection in there with super cool, really good looking shirts and polos and sweatshirts. Highly recommended. New gear constantly coming out. Roback.com. Once again, use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order. Link in the description. Go check it out. We would appreciate that.
Yes.
Quick recap of two games. Mike, how do we feel? Do that?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Let's start with the college football playoff, where the number 10 Miami Hurricanes scored 10 points and
that's
won.
That's not Duke.
That's not Duke. They scored 10 points and they won against the number 7 Texas A&M Aggies, who scored 3 points. This game was an absolute rock fight. We will come back and we're going to do the rapid recap here, but just real quickly, both defenses nasty in this game. Like, this was an incredible performance, I thought, from both defenses. Both quarterbacks, I thought Marcel Reed started out pretty decent, you know, a lot of stuff in the run game for him. But on the balance of this game, like, both quarterbacks had a real hard time. It was actually funny to me in the aftermath of this game, going back and listening to our preview, because very specifically, we called out the weather and said, oh, it's going to be 76 and sunny here. Like, that's great conditions. What we did not realize at the time was that there's going to be like 25 to 30 mile an hour swirling winds, which I think had a pretty profound effect on this game from the field goal kicking standpoint, from a downfield passing standpoint. Really kind of changed the dynamic here, Mike.
Yeah. Hard to kick field goals in that wind, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed with the defenses, like you said. Offenses left a lot to be desired. There was a lot of driving the ball in between the 20s and just not a lot of finishing drives here. So,
yeah. Yeah, finishing drives was an issue. But ultimately, Miami gets a late drive aided by a massive Mark Fletcher run. We'll talk a little bit about Mark Fletcher's involvement or lack thereof in the the large portion of this game, and yet he was running his ass off. But he had a big run that set up Miami to score a late touchdown to take the lead. A&M goes down the field fast and is, I think, has first and goal from the 5. And on third down, ends up Marcel Reed throws an interception that ends the game effectively. And Miami moving on. They're going to take on Ohio State. So we'll come back and hit on that a little bit more here in a minute.
Tease and peace.
And then in the Gasparilla Bowl, the NC State Wolfpack 31, Memphis 7. This was a bowl game ass bowl game, Mike. I felt like it was. Memphis was like a bit of a, I don't know, a hospital squad, like teams that, you know, that I don't know that there were a lot of starters going there. They
stink, stank, stunk.
Definitely. Just wanted to use the holiday theme music.
I was going to say seasonally appropriate for very sure. Good. How many times did Memphis fumble the ball in this game? I think NC State didn't do a great job of holding on to it, but Memphis, like, put it on the turf like it was their job here. NC State gets out to a big lead here and then just kind of sits on it for most of the second half.
It says officially they only lost one fumble, but they might have fumbled more than that.
They might have only lost one, but I think they fumbled it at least 5 or 6 times in this game. Like, it was like every time I looked up, it was like, oh, Memphis fumbled again.
Hey, Scott, I have one thought on this game. Can you play the bang sound for me?
Bang, 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 you're dead.
Thank you for picking the appropriate bang sound.
I got to say, the first thought I had in my head was like the Houston Astros banging on the trash cans.
When the trash cans? Allegedly.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
They would never do such a thing.
Not once.
Not once.
Not even twice.
You could tell which team had their coach in this game, which one did not, is what I would say.
Yeah, this Memphis team was kind of a mess, and NC State left nothing to be doubted here. The final score was the score at halftime, for the record. Like, this was, we got into halftime at 31-7, and NC State was like,
that's right,
let's get the hell out of here and go home.
Under game. In a Memphis game. Under.
Yeah. Which, you know, it didn't look like it was going to be, and then it was. So
Memphis sure did their part.
Yeah, by not scoring.
Yeah, helped a lot.
CJ Bailey did play, had a lot of fun, it seemed like. He took a couple shots in there that was like, I don't know if you needed to do that, but
It is a pre-Christmas bowl game. Like, we can relax taking hits.
Yeah. Yeah, just get rid of the ball and let's move on to the next play.
Yeah.
Anyways, NC State 31, Memphis 7. That was your Roback rapid or rapid recap. Look back at last week, whatever it's going to be. We also got locks that we haven't really recapped. Should we hit that real quick?
Yes.
From the ACC championship game, Mike and producer Scott both had Duke plus the 3.5. Oh boy, hang on. Here we go.
There it is.
And producer's pick of the week, under in the Gasparilla Bowl. He had under 56.5. Producer Scott, 2-0, up to 13-18. We are back, baby. Producer Scott is approaching 500 up here.
Don't let him get hot. Don't let him get hot.
Let him get hot.
Mike up to 14-25 on the year.
Better than 0-25. So
that's
when you put it that way, you know, could be worse.
Objectively better. That is true. That's all I got on a Roback rapid recap. Anything else?
Nope.
One more time, use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at roback.com. I did that for some Christmas gifts. Highly recommended. They're you know, the thing is that, like, they're good quality, which is how you kind of know also, like, they're not cheap. So getting 20% off something that's not cheap is always a pretty nice little bonus. So go check it out.
Nice little chunk off the top there.
Absolutely. All right, let's do the full recap of the playoff first game. We got that and then the Gasparilla Bowl, and then we got some other games to preview. So once again, number 10, Miami 10, number 7, Texas A&M 3. For a lot of this game, it was interesting to me because Miami was really having a hard time sustaining drives. Texas A&M was not having as much trouble sustaining drives, but they weren't able to finish them. So, like, there was one point where I think Miami had maybe like 130 yards and A&M had like 260. It was like basically a double up situation, but it was tied at 3. Like,
yeah,
260 yards of 3 points is pretty rough. And obviously, again, the wind, I think, played a huge role in the issues that both of these teams had field goal kicking. Carter Davis for Miami, 1 for 4. A&M had a miss as well from Jared Zirkle. But, I mean, I think that impacted some of the fourth down decision making of when do you kick, when do you go for it. It was really kind of an odd game that was impacted, I felt like, by the weather in a way that you don't see that often. Like, the level of windy conditions that happened here were pretty unique.
Yeah, the weather was not great. I'm looking here. Yeah, so this is what I was looking for. So Brandon Zimmerman from the SEC Network, he tweeted this out. At one point in the proceedings, I think this was just right around halftime. I don't know what's more probable, Texas A&M having 175 yards of offense and 0 points, or Miami starting drives at the Texas A&M 46 and 25 yard lines after two special teams gaffes by the Aggies, which we'll get to, and also having 0 points.
Yep.
There was a lot of good football that was played in this game, specifically by the defenses. There was a lot of shooting themselves in the foot too, though. The special team stuff, some of it was a product of the weather, but we had a field goal that was blocked here in the first half. We had multiple misses throughout the game. Obviously, the punting was very weather impacted. Obviously, you had the Malachi Toney punt return that looked like he was going to take to the house. And he tripped over his own feet.
Yep.
A lot of stuff going on here. A lot of different angles. Ultimately, Miami kept having success running the ball with Mark Fletcher the entire game. From start to finish, they had success running the ball. They fell in love with throwing the football here. Like, Shannon Dawson could not stop calling passing plays for Carson Beck, who was very unimpressive here.
Yeah.
Very unimpressive. Took care of the football, didn't turn it over, but like 14 of 20 for 103 yards, you're not exactly getting bang for your buck there. And it was one of those games where it was pretty clear, like, A&M, mentioned this on the preview, they've given up their fair share of explosive plays in the running game this year. They've had statistically a defense that's been very good from a pass rush standpoint, but they've had issues stopping the run at times. And it was clear that Miami was going to have some success running the football here. And they were. And they just didn't go to Mark Fletcher as much as I thought they should until that final drive when they scored that touchdown. Well, obviously he broke off the huge run. They score a couple plays later.
Yeah.
But I just, the lack of involvement with Fletcher was pretty surprising.
I completely agree. Like that was one of the things where it's like every time you're giving him the ball, he's ripping off 5, 6, 7 yards. And it's like, 17 carries is really just not that much. Now, when you look at it, I mean, Miami only ran like 49 offensive snaps in this game. Like they did not have the ball that much and did not have that many opportunities. It felt like, A&M again was able to sustain drives. They had 21 first downs, 8 of 18 on third down, compared to Miami with 12 first downs and 3 of 12 on third down. Miami kept stalling out more frequently than A&M was, although A&M was also stalling out kind of on the edge of field goal range and in places where they couldn't really get points out of it either way. But yeah, to your point, Mike, I felt the same way. It's like, why do we keep trying things other than Mark Fletcher? Like, Is he hurt? Is he on a pitch count? Like, what's the reasoning that we're not continuing to go to him? Like, I don't think that they can stop him. And sure, like, oh, yeah, he had the 156-yard run, and you look at the stat line, and, oh, that was, you know, a huge chunk of his 172 yards. But, like, he had 120-some yards on 16 carries otherwise. Like, again, he was picking up chunks. Carson Beck, again, I was fairly unimpressed with. I think the win probably played a role here in – his arm strength, I don't think all year has been all that impressive. It's not like objectively bad, but it's maybe like average at best, I would say. So on a day where it's windy like this, you kind of get why that's a problem. But I thought the real story of the game was Miami's defense and the way that they stood up to A&M's rushing attack, because A&M kept trying to run the ball and trying and trying and trying. And it was like the only way that they had any success running the ball in this game, I felt like, was Marcel Reed scrambling, which was mostly in like the first quarter or so of this game before Miami was able to kind of lock that down, curb that. And A&M, I mean, it took a lot for them for the final three quarters of this game they were able to sustain drives and get a couple first downs, but like nothing was easy. Nothing was easy at all. And huge credit to Miami and that defense and Corey Heatherman. 7 sacks on the day. Of Marcel Reed, Ruben Bain and Akeem Mesidor combined for 4.5 of those 7.
I appreciated Ruben Bain after the game. He made the most out of his press availability because A&M was talking about how they weren't really worried about Ruben Bain. Ruben Bain had that press conference quote from whoever that Texas A&M offensive lineman was that spouted off running his mouth, which never smart to do the week of the game. Just keep your mouth shut and go to practice. Nope. Mm-hmm. We had to say that we're not that concerned about Ruben Bain, who I think for large portions of the season, I think we would all agree was kind of underwhelming considering what everybody expected him to be this season. But that doesn't mean he's not a really, really good player, which we all know that he is. And obviously he made his presence felt in this game. So I did appreciate that. In the post-game press conference, he was showing that he had the screen grab of the A&M offensive lineman with that quote, and he made that his phone background all week. Mm-hmm. So you get what you get.
Yeah, he made him pay for that. Again, I mean, three sacks plus another tackle for loss. We asked in the preview, can Miami put together a full 60 minutes on defense? And again, to their credit, they did. Resounding yes.
It was looking like it was going to be a full 59 minutes and like 27 seconds, and then they got the interception in the end zone.
Yeah, when A&M got down first and goal at the 5, I was like, this is either going to overtime or Mike Elko is going to go for 2 and whatever happens. Like,
yeah.
They went down the field, hot knife through butter situation there on that final drive, and I was fully prepared to see them get in the end zone. And then worth discussing. So the interception that ended the game was on third down. Mm-hmm. Second down, Reed throws a pass that ended up, it was, I guess it'll count as a drop that was caught like on the goal line. There was a Miami defender who made a hit to break it up. There was a lot of discourse about that hit being targeting. What was your take on that, Mike?
Thought you could have called it because he kind of took off.
You can always call it these days, I feel like.
I mean, that was closer to targeting than some targeting calls I've actually seen.
Sure.
Made. I mean, he left his feet to make the hit, like launched into him. I thought you could have called it.
I don't feel like I saw a launch.
I'm not gonna die on the hill either, though.
Yeah. I didn't feel like I saw a launch. What I saw was a guy go up and see what he's hitting. Like he went in head up. There was no crown of the helmet. I didn't think I saw a launch. I was like, it's a hard hit, but I think it's a clean hit, you know? And I mean, I remember back in 2015 watching Adam Gotsis get ejected from a game against UNC for targeting, where he went in, and I think it was Marquise Williams, and he went in like face first, and like face masks made contact, drove him to the ground. They called targeting, and I was like, he got thrown out of the game for being 6'5". That was the crime there, was being tall. I felt like that was a little bit of the same situation we saw here, and I was glad they didn't throw the flag because I didn't think that was targeting or really what that's meant to be. It was a violent hit, especially in that moment. Like, man, you can see
everybody was injured.
Yeah. So I thought that was a clean hit for what it is. Hey, look, Cam's in the comments. Hey, Cam. I was impressed there. I was impressed. And then Marcel Reed, man, he threw two interceptions in this game, and both of them, again, I don't know if they were like wind affected or what, but it was like he just missed. You know, he had guys open, maybe threw it behind them or threw it over them. Like, there were some accuracy things that were on display here from Marcel Reed, I felt like, and Miami's defense took full advantage on multiple occasions.
Yeah, both interceptions were by Bryce Fitzgerald. I thought that the first interception, and neither of them were good, but I thought the first one in particular was, you can't miss high over the middle of the field.
Sailed right? It, yeah.
And he sailed it by like 10 yards. I mean, it was nothing good about that throw. Nothing good about the second one either, but nothing good about the first one especially.
Yep. So, only other thing I was going to mention, I have to remember where it was. There were a couple of moments during this game where we got some real gold standard Mario game management moments on timeout usage or not usage and clock management situations. I think kind of both of the end of half situations were impacted by Mario game management stuff that ultimately does not come back to bite them here, but you just can't get away from it with this Miami program. Like, it always happens, Mike.
I had zero issues with Miami scoring a touchdown. I saw social media. People were like, oh, well, they had control of the game and they should have run the clock all the way down instead of like scoring and leaving A&M too much time. Yeah, maybe if they hadn't already missed three field goals, Malachi Toney has to score there. With the way the field goal kicking was going, like you cannot leave that up to chance. Like, there's too much that can go wrong. No way. You score the touchdown, and your defense, which had played lights out the entire game, you rely on your defense to get a stop at the end. And yeah, it was a little dicey, but like if A&M had scored a touchdown at the end and then went for two, right, instead of forcing overtime, and Miami lost this game 11-10, people would be talking about how Malachi Toney shouldn't have scored a touchdown, and I would be screaming everywhere that he has to score there, to score there.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was very loud because of how the game played out. I did see some murmurs about that. I think it's brain dead to even think that way, especially with how the field goal kicking was going and how Miami's defense was playing. I think you absolutely have to score a touchdown there. So for the folks saying otherwise out on social media, stop it.
Right. And to be clear, that's not what I'm talking about here. Like, I agree. Like, he can get in the end zone there. Go for it. Do it. You know, no concerns with that. That was the right move. And honestly, for that matter, I think it was, what is it, like first drive of the second half or like late in the first half, they got down to like the 3 yard line, fourth and goal. And like 97 times out of 100, Mike, if you've got fourth and goal from the 3 yard line, I'm saying go for it. Mm-hmm. In this particular situation, with the way that that game was playing and the way that the kickers had been having issues and the way that the weather was doing its whole thing and the whole thing, it was like, no, kick it. That was the right call. I thought he made the right call kicking the field goal there as opposed to going for it, you know, at the three. So I didn't have issue with that. There's a reason that it took me like 12 minutes of this recap to get to Mario. It's relative minutia, I thought.
Right.
There were a couple of times where I felt like he let a lot of clock burn in places where you shouldn't have, or like spent timeouts to not have a delay of game on third and 14. It's like, you didn't need to use a timeout there. Like, right. Again, little things that in this particular case did not really matter, but just things that continue to pop up in any given Mario head coach game.
Yep.
So I think that's all I got on this game. If you had told me in the preview I could get under 17.5 and it would cash, I would have been pretty shocked. We believed in the defenses here, but, you know.
Even in a defensive game, this was pretty shocking.
Yeah. We also said this was probably the best TV show of the first round, and I don't think that really – I mean, it was hard fought, it was close, and it was never more than a one-score game. But, like, aside from that, it wasn't – the easiest watch, I think, if you're just looking for some points and some fun game to watch on TV.
People die on the hill of, you got, you know, has to be like a million points scored for it to be like a fun game. This was fun in a different way.
Yeah.
This felt like in the first half, who wants to win this game less is what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought the defenses did play well. I thought there was a lot of good defense being played here. But, yeah, the missed field goals, the blocked field goal, the Malachi Toney tripping over himself, the Malachi Toney fumble that came at a really inopportune time. He made up for it, obviously, scoring at the end. But, like, there was a lot of stuff in this game where you were just like, oh, my God, I can't believe that just happened. And, yep. Like, Malachi Toney looking like he's taking the punt to the house, and then you had the A&M defender diving, completely whiffing, but then Malachi Toney tripping over his own feet. It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, what else is going to happen here?
You have got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
With that. Like,
it was just like the latest in like a string of plays that had happened. It was just like, Jesus, man.
Yeah. I agree. Cam brings something up. People still glorify the 9-6 game. I've heard that comparison made, by the way, in the aftermath of this game, that, you know, comparing that to the, what, LSU 9, Alabama 6 game in 2012.
Yeah.
It was 1-2 in, I think it was in Tuscaloosa. Might be have that backwards, but I don't think that's a totally unfair comparison of the way that this game played out. Just the slugfest, and took everything that both of these teams had to try to finish drives.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I thought the better team won. Like, A&M had more success offensively early, but I thought the better team won here. Mm-hmm. Like, I picked A&M to win because I just couldn't trust Mario. Felt like it's like we were waiting to see this game, right? This on this stage, right? Work out for Miami. Cam, you'll have to forgive me. I read your good, bad, and ugly piece, and you called this the biggest win in X amount of years. And it had been a while since Miami won a game like this. This is, yeah, biggest win of the Crystal Ball era for sure. And he's had a couple of big wins this year, but this one was up there.
Yeah. I went and looked for the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I couldn't find it. I think that was on Sunday. And I didn't see it on the Twitter feed for either Cam or State of the U. And then I was looking through the site, and that might be more of an SB Nation issue of not being able to find the story I was looking for. But
right on the homepage, baby.
Yeah.
Smack dab in the middle on Saturday night.
It was on Saturday? Okay. All right. So I wasn't late. All right. I'll go look and find it because I wanted to go read it, and I, for whatever reason, I was having a hard time finding it. So
The good? Very long. Very long section of good. Yeah.
Can't imagine.
As you'd imagine.
I can't imagine. And, you know, deserve it. So.
Right.
Miami, by winning this game, is now on their way to the Cotton Bowl. They'll come back to Texas and be playing in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve against Ohio State. I said on New Year's Eve already. A&M's defense very good. Ohio State's defense probably better.
Yeah,
and I am not as optimistic about Miami's chances in that particular game, but. If you can get another masterclass from this defense in that game, stranger things have happened. And I realize you're the 10 seed going against a 2 seed, but you know, you need that defense to show up for 60 minutes again, the way they did here to have a shot to win that game.
For sure. The line came out, I think it was Ohio State -5, to which
it opened at 5.
It was Ohio State -5, to which Bud Elliott tweeted out, in the first half, ? this feels to me on paper, you know, we'll preview it, obviously. To me on paper, feels like it should be Ohio State -7 or -8. Yeah.
I don't know who told you to open at 5. It definitely opened at 9.5.
Maybe it depends on the book or something. Like some of them are really early to the line. Like basically soon as the A&M game was over, they probably posted something.
I did see it on Saturday and not Sunday when it was one of those people who was like hypothetical. It's like a hypothetical line. So 9.5 feels closer to what I would have. I mean, I just mentioned, I thought maybe 7.5, 8, that's a lot closer to.
Yeah. We'll preview it next week.
I don't
mind the Buckeyes if I can get them inside of double digits, honestly. But as Scott said, we'll come back and preview that next week.
Don't piss Cam off tonight.
I don't mean, you know what? For all the jokes that we make about Miami has been in this conference for, 20 some years and has never won the ACC championship game. You know what they did win? They won the first playoff game that any ACC team has won in the 12-team era. I had to catch myself saying that. I was like, oh, Clemson has won a lot of playoff games and Florida State has won several too, but not several, like one or two, I think. But
yeah.
Maybe none. Miami has a CFP win before basically anybody else in the conference has one. I got to go check the numbers now. I don't think Florida State
win.
A 12-team win.
CFP win.
Is Clemson the only other ACC team with a playoff win?
Yes.
Like full stop since 2014?
Yes.
No, didn't Florida State get blown out in the title game?
No. They got blown out by Oregon in the Rose Bowl. That was the semifinal in 2014. Okay. Right. They had won the national title the year before. Playoff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won. They beat Auburn.
They won the last BCS title.
That game was a banger.
It was.
I was in Europe. I was watching it with the cup and string on a study abroad trip.
Is that a euphemism? What does that mean?
Leave that alone. We'll just leave that there.
Fair enough. Cam mentions Miami, the first Florida team to win a playoff game since that 2013 Florida State championship, which wasn't even a playoff game. That was a BCS national championship game. So there you go. Shout out to the Canes. They got it done. That's good for the conference, by the way, because not only did you participate in that game, but you won it. You move on to the next one. There's a little.
Yep.
I think the way that the conference is kind of shaking out the money thing, like I think a lot of that stays with Miami, but some of it goes to everybody else in the conference. So, shout out to them for making it happen. Good for them. And now you get the spotlight on New Year's Eve in the Cotton Bowl, and we'll come back and preview that at a later date.
Yep, for sure.
There we go. Miami 10, Texas A&M 3, a really strong start to the playoff for the ACC and the one team that made it in. Good for them.
Yep.
Let's do the Gasparilla Bowl, the NC State Wolfpack 31, the Memphis Tigers 7. This game was, again, as I said before, this is a bowl game-ass bowl game. Yeah. Memphis.
Stink, stank, stunk.
Middle of a weekday, watch it while you work sort of thing.
I did. And for the second time tonight, Scott has perfectly nailed the stink, stank, stunk as soon as I said the word Memphis. Which is accurate. Yeah, this is a fun game for NC State. I mean, they got out to a big lead and just kind of sat on it. Memphis did not really look like they wanted to be there all that bad. As I mentioned, there were a number of fumbles that they didn't lose that many of them, but like the ball is on the turf a ton in this game. Dave Doran breaks a 5-game bowl losing streak. That was good for them. And Dennis mentions the Roback rapid recap basically covered everything. That's pretty much accurate. Don't have a whole lot more beyond that. I think there was one more thing I wanted to bring up, but I don't really remember what it was. Do you have any like major takeaways here, Mike?
The only other thing I didn't mention in the recap was that Hollywood Smothers didn't play. Jaden Scott ran the ball well. NC State didn't miss a beat really running the football here. Not that they had to do it a ton, but he was perfectly fine in this particular instance. Yeah, I mean, NC State looked like they were there, ready to play, motivated to play well.
Yep.
Memphis looked like a team whose coach left for somewhere else.
Yeah. So. One thing I will bring up, I'm going to bring it up for this game. I'll probably bring it up again in the recap after we have some more games under our belt to talk about. One of our talking points last year in bowl season was, I believe, the ACC went something like 2-9 or something in bowl games.
It was 1-9 to start. I remember that.
Yeah. Like we went like it was like 0-7, 0-8 to start with. And we're like, is the ACC going to win a bowl game this year? I felt like last year there were a number of uniquely bad matchups / like teams that were kind of skeleton crew situations. So all to say, it is good for the ACC to start this bowl season on a win like this. This is emphatic, and NC State didn't mess around. They basically asserted dominance from the beginning, and good on them for doing it.
Right. With you.
So that's all I got there. Otherwise, fun little TV background show to watch while you're working or addressing Christmas cards or whatever you might have been doing.
Yeah, just went back to last year and looked really fast. The ACC only got 2 bowl wins last year. It was Syracuse over Washington State in the DirecTV Holiday Bowl, 52-35, and
fun game.
Louisville, 35-34 over Washington in the Sun Bowl. That's it.
Also a fun game. There you go. All right. Anything else, Mike? NC State and Memphis.
No.
Yeah, I think I'm good. Should we talk about some upcoming bowl games?
Can we hit a news item real quick?
We should, absolutely.
North Carolina has a new offensive coordinator.
Oh, for... Scott has been waiting all night to hit that button. Oh, my Lord. Bravo, Scott.
A little inside baseball. Scott texted us at like 6 o'clock tonight. Said he was cooking something up for the show. Said he had some new sound.
Oh, it was man. So
I forgot how aggressive that old commercial was.
Wow. Wow.
That about sums up my thoughts on the matter. The only thing I was going to add is the whole scouting the co-eds thing should go really, really well. I don't know about the actual recruiting, but the scouting the undergrads, I think, will be just fine.
I was going to add just quickly, this person's name is Bobby Petrino that was hired at North Carolina. I don't think we got that far. No,
sorry.
Blasted Viagra commercials and Yeah.
Bill Belichick, one of the most likable people in the world, has hired another one of the most likable people in the world, Bobby Petrino, to come join his staff, who is potentially being managed by one of the other most likable people in the world, his girlfriend. And yeah, we've just got a real, real humdinger of a situation going on in Chapel Hill right now.
I can say with all that said, I can say with a pretty high degree of certainty, he should be an upgrade from Freddie Kitchens.
I was going to say, you know what? They're going to score a lot of points next year. More than they did this year.
We're going to make jokes, and as we should. I just have the sound just like in the back of my head, just like I'm just waiting for it again. But the they're going to score some points. Gio Lopez is coming back. He's returning. Got that news this evening. And I think he's a better fit for the stuff that Petrino wants to run.
Well, so rather than the depth chart. I mean,
if it is him, let's play it out. If it is him as the starter, he's a better fit for the stuff Petrino has run at the college level versus whatever pro style offense Freddie Kitchens was trying to run this year with a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
So it should be an upgrade.
It certainly will be. I don't know if it'll necessarily, I mean, it will work better. I don't know if it's like going to turn them into an ACC championship contender, but like they will score more points. They will be better on offense. That's for sure.
If they play defense like they did this year and they get a little bit more out of the offense, I'm not saying ACC championship contender, but what I will say with a schedule like the one they just had where they lost a lot of those 50-50 games, they probably win a couple more of those, right? Against an easier schedule, you're probably in the basically at the higher end of your outcomes that you were supposed to be at versus wherever they finish this year.
Correct. Yeah. The other thing I will say is that Petrino, like his offense, and I realize kind of more recently it has involved some more mobile quarterbacks. Like he was still the head coach at Louisville when Lamar Jackson was there and won the Heisman, right? But his offense over the years has kind of morphed. Like he's actually one of the guys that does a really good job, I think, of kind of morphing the offense to fit his personnel. And I think he made Lamar Jackson a lot better of a passer at Louisville, and is probably the reason that he was able to survive in the NFL as a passer and as a quarterback was because of what development he saw at Louisville. But even going back to, you know, his time at Arkansas, or his head coaching tenure at Arkansas, and then his first head coaching tenure at Louisville, they were a little bit more like traditional, I don't know, like West Coast, what you would call that, but like more of a traditional passing attack. They weren't relying on quarterback mobility, although more recently has utilized some more quarterback mobility in his offenses. So like, I think he can make it work. I'm not totally sold on the idea that Gio Lopez is going to, for sure, at this point, he's for sure the guy in Chapel Hill next year.
Oh, like, no. Hey, Joey, just so we're on the same page, he stinks. He's not very good.
Now, we agreed, though, that he was used improperly this year. Like,
yes.
The things he was being asked to do is not what he was good at doing. Like, if I trust Petrino to do anything, it's to use the quarterback properly and also to be the most unlikable person in the sport. Those two things, nailed it. Anything else? Who knows?
We have a question from NDS133. Do we think this is a Bill, Bubba, or board hire? Bubba being Bubba Cunningham, the AD. Hey, guys, listen. Bubba Cunningham didn't even want Bill Belichick hired as the head coach. Okay. So I don't think Bubba is installing anybody on behalf of Bill Belichick. I know this was likely a joke, but just in general.
Why do I feel like I need to like create some flashcards for us to repeatedly play this game through the offseason and
we need
the next
an org
season?
Chart.
Bill, Bubba, or board? Like, hold up the one that you think it is.
Great idea. We need like an org. We need an org chart. We need like we need somebody to like start here. We got to connect the dots.
Jordan's definitely on the org chart.
Well, like a decision tree, right? You have like if yes, go here. If no, go here. We need one of those.
Yeah.
Scott, play the sound.
The Viagra one?
Yeah.
One more time. Viva!
Viva!
with the motorcycle and everything. It's perfect.
Yes, that was planned. I had to hunt the internet to find the clip. You can find anything online.
Yeah, moral.
What I was gonna say though to that comment before you told me to play the sound was, are we talking board of visitors or the C-suite board advisor? Like, what are we doing here? Because like Pfizer makes Viagra. No.
That one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Going for some.
Was that too intellectual for you guys? I'll let you guys off.
Definitely too intellectual. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not that smart. Yeah, probably a good hire. I don't know. It'll probably work.
Better than Trey Kitchens.
I don't know how long this Belichick thing goes on at North Carolina. I think we've been asking that question from the moment that we found out that he was going there.
A built-in interim.
Which, yeah, probably. And also, man, I had my concerns about when Belichick leaves, like, is there a smoking crater? You just like put a rocket on the back of the meteor that created the crater. Like that's going to be a bigger, more smoking crater. I think like everywhere that Petrino has left has been a smoking crater basically. And we're doing it again in Chapel Hill. Now should be fun.
Can't wait for the North Carolina Kevin Steele situation. Like at Auburn, where Petrino is like actively, because everybody was talking about that happening at Arkansas, where Petrino was like really going to work to get Sam Pittman fired. That was like a popular thing. Like so
he literally hasn't done that in months. Like
he hasn't done it in a whole couple months. It was really funny though, right? Because like right after Pittman was fired, Bobby Petrino was pretty clear that he wanted to be the head coach. Like he let everybody know, like I don't just want to be the interim.
Yep.
He hasn't done it in a whole few months.
We'll see how it goes. Should we preview some bowl games here, Mike?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We'll do this in chronological order. We on our previous episode, we previewed, obviously, the Gasparilla Bowl, the first round of the playoff, and the
Boca Raton Bushes.
Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. Is that?
Which is tomorrow for the people. Yes. So if you want to see that preview, go to the last episode. And there are timestamps, so you can get there quickly. You're welcome.
That's correct, yeah. As we record this on the evening of Monday the 22nd. That game is now kicking off in, I don't know, like 16 hours or something like that. So go find that on our previous episode. We are going to talk tonight about the Christmas Eve Hawaii Bowl and four games on the 27th. Because why would we have games scattered across several days when you can just do them all at one time?
Why do we have to talk about the Hawaii Bowl, right, Scott?
Oh, I don't know.
What else are you going to be
Zach
watching?
Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
That's, to this day, one of the worst beats I've ever had.
Literal ghosts of Christmas past here.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely been more sober than I was watching the final minutes of that game. I would say that.
We've talked about this before. If you go back and watch the last 2 minutes of the 2018 Hawaii Bowl, I don't know what BYU was doing.
Scott and I have watched some Hawaii games. Like I know this was the Hawaii Bowl. We've watched some Hawaii games where we had to like find it on Facebook and stuff like that very late after drinking during the day. There is nothing that tops this beat, the 2018 Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah.
BYU just forgot. I mean, that's... Was Satake there in 2018?
Yeah. I think so. He took over for Mendenhall. He's been there ever since Bronco went to Virginia.
Yeah, you're right. Investigated. He should be investigated for that game.
No, Zach Wilson needs to throw a better pass. Why are they passing? They needed 2 yards to seal the game, kneel it out. Oh, yeah, it's got to stop. I'm going to get all worked up.
All I know, Mike has absolutely been more sober than he was watching that game and has had less hungover Christmas mornings than he did after that.
For sure.
So in remembrance of that game, on Christmas Eve at 8 o'clock on ESPN, it is the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl featuring the Cal Golden Bears, who are functionally on the road here, taking on the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Cal, a 1.5-point underdog in this game, totals 52.5. Scott, did Cal open as an underdog here? I thought they were favored at some point.
I could check that for you in a second.
Yeah, I was like, do you mind checking on that? Because I don't know, I'm suspicious here. I will say, I mean, Cal under new management here, obviously. I think I would assume Nick Rolovich still coaching the game. I think he's staying on staff there, isn't he?
You're correct, Joe. They opened as a 1.5-point favorite. They are now a 1.5-point dog.
Okay, that's a relatively small move.
But you know what that makes them?
What is that?
So this week, Hawaii is the home field home dogs of the week. That's because JKS is from Hawaii and he's at home. So give Cal home field home dogs of the week. Use promo code GOACC24 at checkout. Get your first order 50% off. Buy some sweet home field gear. Thanks.
Go do that. Support your home dogs of the week. How are we feeling about JKS on the Big Island, Mike?
I mean, I'm excited to see the Hawaiian on Hawaiian quarterback matchup with JKS and Mike Alahato.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we talked about last week's game between Miami and A&M being for the Commander-in-Chief's Cup that was played this year between Miami, Texas A&M, and Notre Dame. This is for the Commander-in-Chief's Cup that was played between Cal, Stanford, and Hawaii. Although I think Hawaii beat Stanford, Stanford beat Cal. So now we got to figure out, Cal complete the triangle, or does Hawaii take the championship from the ACC this year?
Lock up the bows.
Oh.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
They have their coach. Cal's defense has low-key kind of sucked for long stretches this season, right?
Yeah.
Give me the bows.
I think I'm with you. I'm not going to lock it up, but I'm going to land with Hawaii. Welcome back to bowl season, where, like, who the hell knows, like, which team is going to show up from either side. Either of these teams could win this game by 2 touchdowns, and I would not be surprised. Like,
I think the sharp move is just bet on the team that has their coaching staff.
Yeah, I think so. The other one, I don't hate the over here. This just turning into like a TV show video game situation. You've got, again, the two hometown Hawaiian quarterbacks trying to put on a show. I'm going to lamb the 1.5. I'm going to lamb with Hawaii, and I'm going to say over 52.5.
Over. Here. Yeah, over.
This would be a good watch.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one. Yeah.
Yeah. But no locks on my part. I'm just pass. I don't know what the hell's going to happen here. But, you know, as you're doing the, by the way, I'm going to just take a quick second and remind everyone, one of my favorite traditions every year on Twitter. Mike, are you familiar with the how many beers?
Kegs and Eggs. Yep.
At Kegs and Eggs, Adam Kramer. He is a kind of a tangential college football personality, I would say. I don't know. Does he do like any formal college football writing? He's like an Iowa guy, I think.
Substack, I think. And
okay.
Podcast, maybe.
I think part of his like full-time profession is working on Golden Tee, i.e. the bar golf arcade machine situation. But he has a tradition that he does every year called How Many Beers, where
we got our first submission, by the way, this evening. I don't know.
Yours?
No, I didn't submit anything, but there was a submission this evening, and that's the first one that I've been aware of.
Ooh.
Some sort of Barbie Dreamhouse situation. Oh, no.
Start now.
To which he said that he has experience with that particular product. So anyway. Continue.
I was going to say, Christmas Eve is always how many beers night.
Yeah.
And it's assessing, you know, the dollhouses or you know, slides or like whatever it is that like trampolines, like whatever that is that like parents are going to put together to, for their kids to have the next morning. How many beers is it going to take to get that thing fully assembled? And I just always really enjoy that. So shout out to Adam Kramer, big fan of the podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Hawaii in the over for both of us. Mike's got Hawaii minus the 1.5 locked up. And I'm going to unhighlight the rest in the sheet because you don't have the over locked up. Fair enough. Good to move on?
Good.
All right. That's Christmas Eve. You're going to have Christmas Day. You're going to have like the 26th. And then we'll get to the 27th. And then we got a bunch of games. We're going to start early. We've got the 11 o'clock, December the 27th. It is the Go Bowling Military Bowl. It's on ESPN. It is the Pitt Panthers taking on the ECU Pirates. Pitt, a 10-point favorite here. Totals 56.5. This game is coming to you from Navy Marine Corps Stadium in Annapolis, Maryland. Maybe a slight geographical advantage here for the Pirates. I think it's also worth noting the Pirates more familiar with seafaring adventures playing at the Navy Stadium as compared to the Panthers, who tend to be more land-based, I think, as things tend to go. ECU leaving their coach, right? Or at least their offensive coordinator left for
old. They have their head coach. They lost their offensive coordinator.
Okay. I'm trying to keep it all straight. It's there's a lot going on. I don't like laying 10 points with Pat Narduzzi in a bowl game, especially after the shenanigans that happened last year in the Motor City Bowl. I'm leaning towards just taking the Pirates and the points to at least keep this close and entertaining, but I don't feel that strongly about it. What's your take here, Mike?
I don't know if the OC for East Carolina is coaching here.
Probably not.
So I'm going to lay him with Pitt.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I'm laying them. Yeah, I'm laying them.
I think Pitt will win. Pitt's better here. It's just a lot of points to lay. This is, I will say, this is also probably kind of a bad matchup from ECU from a physicality in the trenches standpoint. Like, if Pitt shows up wanting to play this game, and I halfway think that they will, like, I don't think that they'll be, you know, over the moon going to Annapolis in late December to play this game. But if they do show up, you know, somewhat ready to go, I think they might be able to make a bit of a mess of this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? Let's lay him with Pitt.
There you go.
This should be a good showing for the Panthers. Hopefully we will see. Narduzzi, again, has had his issues in bowl games in recent years, but tend to think that they might not extend here in this particular matchup on this particular day. But we'll see.
Yeah. Yep.
Totals 56.5. I'm going to say under. That's a lot of points.
I'm going to say under as well because I don't think East Carolina is scoring as much as they have been.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. All right. Pitt and the under for the both of us in the Military Bowl. I don't think there's a whole lot else that I saw about this game. I think I'm good.
Good.
Let's keep it moving. Same day, this is at noon on ABC. It is the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl, because if we know if there's anybody doing anything in New York around the first of the year, it's mowing their yard. The Clemson Tigers taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions. Clemson, a 3-point favorite, totals 48.5. This, of course, has been the subject of some jokes as people... plenty of people predicted this as like a national title game matchup before the year. They are playing after the season, but in a slightly different capacity than expected. Here's what I will say. God love him. Dabo will get his team fired up to play in whatever the hell bowl game that they're in.
Yeah.
I kind of think Clemson's going to show up like fired up to play this game.
Yep.
Maybe more so than Penn State does. And I have my questions about Clemson, like quality wise, but I think the motivation here, they will be ready to go. And I think they're going to win this game.
Lay them and we'll lock it up too.
Whoa.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please. For all the reasons you just said, like Dabo feels like he can get his band of misfit toys and all of those underrated players that he has now, because he just doesn't want to recruit at the level he once did and doesn't want to use the portal. He won't get him fired up for big games, but he'll get him fired up for a game like this. So they'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I've been laughing. I think it's like Chip Patterson from Cover 3 talking about, like, you know that we're going to get Dabo on the field after the game talking about, you know, well, Lou Gehrig said it is a great day to be alive. And it's like, I think it's a great day to be a Clemson Tiger. You know, like trying to get the crowd going, like he's cutting a wrestling promo, like they just won something important. Which, you know, I, history bowl, super important.
Consider myself, self, the luckiest man. Yeah. We'll get one of those speeches.
Yeah. What the hell? What's bowl season if I don't lock anything up too? I'll double barrel this.
Hell yeah.
Clemson minus -3.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
Double barrel.
That's right. Under 48.5 as well. I think Clemson's defense will be good enough here. What?
Producer's pick of the week, under 48.5.
Let's go.
I like it. Yep.
There it is.
I'll join y'all on the under.
There it is. Clemson and the under. Under for all of us. Clemson locked up for myself and Mike. This is also, by the way, I mentioned in the last show that this season is basically the end of Act One for Brent Key. This feels like the end of a certain era for Clemson. Garrett Riley, like, that contract is up. Cade Klubnik, I think, is done after this year. They've got a number of seniors, I think, on defense that are leaving. Like, this was a year that Clemson has built towards. This is kind of going to be the last time that this group plays together.
Yeah.
And then we will see what they do to rebuild after this going into next year.
Yeah. And Dabo loves to hire internally, but he's also in the past loved to hire, like, underwhelmingly. So, he may take this opportunity, like you mentioned, with Garrett Riley's contract up. He may take this opportunity to hire Freddie Kitchens.
I mean, it almost worked in Chapel Hill. Like, yeah,
he'd be perfect for the Clemson stuff or whatever Dabo says.
Yeah,
you just like run a bunch of mid offense. He can do that for you.
Yeah. I saw Garrett Riley's name pop up a couple times in the Georgia Tech offensive coordinator search. And I was like, man, like, I know that we've had the conversation about, well, Dabo probably meddles in what's going on there. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the bloom is off that rose a little bit from what Garrett Riley was coming off that national title game appearance with TCU a few years ago. Like, in 3 years, that's all we got from Clemson's offense. Like, I don't love it. But
get ready to learn Taj Boyd, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Clemson minus -3 locked up for both myself and Mike. Producer pick of the week, under 48.5 in this game. Mike and I also on the under.
Yep.
Good to move on.
Moving on.
Let's go to 3:30 on ABC. It is the Pop-Tarts Bowl featuring the number 22 Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets taking on the number 12 BYU Cougars. Georgia Tech, a 4.5-point underdog in this game, total 56.5. First of all, feels like I have to mention this. As I mentioned before, Georgia Tech specifically in this specific game because Notre Dame turned it down. And there are a lot of Notre Dame fans that have been out there on Twitter that are like, thank God we're not a part of this nonsense dog and pony show, and like, we don't want to be a part of this anyways, and like, we're too cool for this, and we're too good for this, and we should have been in the play. And you know what? I'm glad that your players aren't having fun at this game as much as the Georgia Tech and BYU players are having fun at it right now, because they look like they're having an absolute friggin' blast. This game is objectively just like one of the most nonsense fun bowl games of bowl season. I think these two teams, by the way, two of the most invested in winning a bowl game teams that you probably have out there. Like, no question of, are either of these teams motivated? I think they both are. The coach is a little bit of a bromance situation. Both quarterbacks willing to probably do an on-field Oklahoma drill at halftime. Like, this sets up to be one of the best TV show games of bowl season, Mike, for my money.
Yeah, I agree. Should be a good matchup. A lot of the main players are playing. Should be good. I don't love this matchup for Georgia Tech. I think they're going to have some issues in the trenches here in particular. BYU's defense really good. BYU's offense also really good. You know, Georgia Tech's defense, we know what that defense has been this year. It's been very up and down. But I don't like this matchup for Georgia Tech at all up front.
Yeah.
At all. Little surprise, it's only 4.5. Maybe Georgia Tech hangs. I think they'll be game for a bit. I do think BYU's a better team. I think they pull away in the second half. The line kind of scares me a little bit. 4.5 is a weird one, though. So I am not going to lock anything up here, but I like the BYU side a lot more than I like the Georgia Tech side here. So give me a Cougs minus 4.5.
I'm with you. Laying with the Cougs. For the exact reason that you said. And some of this, you know, I think about Georgia Tech, and it's like, I think with under Brent Key and with, you know, Geep Wade of the last few years, like, they've gotten to the point where their offensive line is probably like above average. But as we saw against Pittsburgh, we saw against Georgia at the end of the season, they're not the level that they can handle some of the most physical defensive fronts in the game, which BYU is one of them. And then I turn around the other side of the ball, and their defensive line, I don't trust them at all against a very physical BYU offensive line.
Yeah.
And on some level, I don't know that that's unique to Georgia Tech and the ACC. I think that's probably most ACC teams are just a little bit ill-equipped in the trenches to handle the level of trench play that you're going to get from BYU. So just throwing all that out there. But yeah, I agree. Laying with BYU, I think they win this game by at least a touchdown. Unfortunately, Haynes King's final game in white and gold. But I don't know that he necessarily goes out a winner here. Should be a lot of fun, though. Pop-Tarts Bowl always is. And for the record, by the way, Will Secor brings up Georgia Tech getting some of those Pop-Tart sprinkles on the helmet logo for this game. BYU's got them, too. That's a nice touch. And you know what? Notre Dame never would have Pop-Tart sprinkles on their helmets. Nerds. Nerds. Lame with BYU. Total is 56.5. I'm going to go over on that number. I think could find some joy for both of these offenses, but we'll see.
Under.
That's fair. Totally fair. What's your favorite Pop-Tart flavor, Mike?
Brown sugar cinnamon's pretty good. I do like
brown sugar cinnamon guy.
Little off the beaten path here, but their cookies and cream Pop-Tarts, put them in the fridge. Solid.
Okay.
Blueberry.
Also
blueberry.
Good.
Okay. I'm a brown sugar cinnamon guy myself. I did get some Pop-Tarts at the grocery store yesterday. I got brown sugar cinnamon, and then I got strawberry with the sprinkles, figuring that, you know, the kids might need to try them. And I, you know, got home, put them in the pantry, whatever. And my wife sees them and is like, "Why did you buy Pop-Tarts?" And I was like, "Because we're in the Pop-Tarts bowl." And she was like, "Well, they're just straight sugar." I was like, "What do you think the Captain Crunch Oops All Berries is that you feed Charlie every morning?" Like, it's not like
the Oops All Berries specifically.
Yeah. Like, this is not health food. Like, let's be honest about what we're doing here. So anyways, yeah.
Noah was eating homemade cinnamon twists that his Mimi made for a Christmas party we had at my house last night. He was eating those at 8 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
So we're just, and when I asked Kate, "What are we doing?" She said, "It's basically Christmas. Just, we're just going to let it rip." I said, "Okay. Sounds good to me."
Putting rocket fuel in him, basically.
As long as you're not going to have me say, "Hey, feed him yogurt or milk or whatever." Just let it, we're just going to let it ride with a cinnamon twist. Good enough for me. I'm just going to make some coffee.
Yeah. Just try to ride this out.
Yeah.
All right. BYU for the both of us. I've got the over. You've got the under.
Yeah.
Mike. As a reminder, this preview and all of them brought to you by section103.com, is the internet's premier place for all things wonderful Georgia Tech apparel. They've got things like this hoodie right here. If you need one of these, go check them out. T-shirts, sweatshirts, other hoodies. They've got hats. They've got stickers, all sorts of wonderful things. Things for men, women, children, babies, something for the whole family. Go find it all, section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. And I say Georgia Tech, you know, if you need something to wear the Pinstripe Bowl, like a polo or a t-shirt, you know, which will go great in the Bronx in late December, they've got that at section103.com too. And GOACC works just as well there as well. So go check it all out. Lots of classic Clemson apparel and some local flair to it, I will say. Cool Howard's Rock shirt, a cool Clemson Blue Cheese shirt. Go find it all. Section103.com. One last time, use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. Shout out to Steven and the gang. Appreciate their support as always. Steven, I'll say provided. It was a worthwhile purchase for me to get a Section 103 polo and hat for my brother-in-law for Christmas. He loved it. I was like, man, this is great. Where'd you get this? Section 103, brother.
Go use promo code even.
I did. It turns out. Highly recommended. Thank you, Steven. I'm guessing Steven and at least his boys, maybe his wife too, might be going to this Pop-Tarts Bowl in Orlando. So if they do, safe travels, have fun, go Jackets, and we'll see you sometime soon.
Beautiful. We have more Pop-Tart recommendations from Alexis Solaris.
Okay.
Freeze the hot fudge sundae ones, then toast them for a short amount of time. Hot on the outside, ooh, cold on the inside.
Ooh.
We'll be trying.
Ice cream paint job? That's what that reminded me of. Clean on the inside, clean on the outside. No, nobody.
Hot on the outside, cold on the inside.
There we go. Thank you, Joey.
There we go. Go back to my my other career as a rapper.
You've got one on your head.
I was going to say, yeah, but you beat me to it.
Ice cream. 7:30 on ABC is the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Two fan bases that really appreciate rap music, I'm sure. The number 19 Virginia Cavaliers playing against the Missouri Tigers. Virginia, 4-point underdog in this game. That number's come down. That was like almost a touchdown, I think, when we first mentioned this bowl game happening. Total's 44.5.
Yeah, it opened at 7.
Yeah, that's...
We got some news-ish intel stuff coming from Virginia that they're trying to get Chandler Morris an extra year, so I would assume he is definitely playing in this game.
Homie, just get a job.
He's one of those, like, open for work, open to work, whatever it is on LinkedIn. Those memes, yeah, I always see when a bad quarterback plays.
I'm a little surprised this number has come down as much as it has, Mike. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. We're gonna lamb. MIZ, baby. Yeah, I don't know why it's moving this direction, really. I mean, could it be because Bo Perbula's not playing?
So, like, wasn't it hurt, like, the back half of the year?
Yeah.
Can't be a full field goal, right, for him being banged up and, like, not always playing anyway.
Hang on. What? He definitely missed several games in the middle of the year.
He did. He had a broken hand, I think, or
did he come back? Yeah, he played. He played the last two games of the regular season. Yeah. He played against Oklahoma and he played against Arkansas. He threw seven passes against Arkansas. So maybe there's still some health issues there. I don't know.
Hardy's playing, so that seems significant.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean towards Missouri as well. I kind of alluded to this when we did the initial like rundown of bowl games that I think it's Vegas is telling you something if the unranked team is favored by like a touchdown over the ranked team. Like, that's not a mistake. That doesn't happen by accident. I think Eli will have Missouri ready to play in this game. He's another guy that just seems like he'll have that team up to play in a bowl game wherever, whenever, against whoever, for whatever stakes. So I'll take Missouri to lay. I'll lay him here as well. I don't feel confident whatsoever. I mean, Virginia could easily win this game. Like, no problem thinking of how that would happen. So, but I don't know. this is I have such a bad feel for this game in particular. Just like, either one of these teams could win by 10 points and I wouldn't be shocked. I have no idea.
Virginia better buckle up those chin straps for Ahmad Hardy. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you can make it through, you know, 60 minutes of that, you've earned it.
Strap up.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Missouri, and then totals 44 and a half. Over.
Under.
Under. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. It's a low number. I think you could find, you know, a couple of big plays here or there. It's bowl season. Who the hell cares?
It is.
Over.
I think both these teams are most of, I mean, Virginia is definitely motivated to play, right?
Yeah. I
think they'll play hard. We think Missouri is going to play hard. You just said you think so.
I think so.
Oh.
Is this Virginia's first bowl game under Tony Elliott?
Yes, I think so.
5-7, 3-9.
I want to say yes.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
On three, by the way, listed Tony Elliott as a candidate for the Michigan job today. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
That's one of those where, and we said this a few weeks ago when I found out that Nebraska had given an extension to Matt Rhule to keep him from going to Penn State. I was like, dude, you know what? If y'all want him that bad, okay.
Yeah.
At this point, I still don't feel like Tony Elliott is some like way above replacement level head coach. Like, they've had a good year. I don't know that this coaching staff has done anything that's like really wildly impressive relative to, you know, they got better results, but they've also improved the roster. So like, I don't. If Michigan wants to come in and hire Tony Elliott, okay.
Yeah.
You can have him. If I'm Virginia, but you know.
I just wanted to try something real quick for an upcoming segment that we have in a moment.
See how it goes. All right. That's all I got on a bowl game. Should we recap locks here?
Yes, we shall.
Let's do it. Mike, you've got Hawaii minus the 1.5 against Cal locked up. We both have Clemson minus the 3 against Penn State locked up. Producers pick of the week under 48.5 in Clemson and Penn State. And that's all our locks for this round of the ACC's Bowl-nanza.
Bowl-nanza.
Bowl-nanza. All right. I think that's all I've got.
I don't care. I'm a sickness.
You thought that's all you got. All right. Sickos picks of the week.
Gentlemen.
All right. Everybody,
did we draw lines on like where we're starting and ending on these?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you did. You just cut me off. I was going to get there.
Sorry.
Okay. So last show was all games up through tomorrow, the 23rd. So these next picks from this week are going to start the 24th through next week, the 29th. So all of these picks that are eligible are December 24th, Christmas Eve through December 29th, because our next show should probably fall around that time. So that will be that. As a recap of last week's, we still have some outstanding because we picked a couple games that are tomorrow. But the ones that we did kind of close out, Joey went 1-2 on the week. He nailed the Tulane team total under 19.5. He missed the JMU team total under because they scored 34. And he and Mike both missed Kennesaw State. They got their butts kicked by the Michigan State Broncos, according to Joey, the Western Michigan Broncos.
When you're wrong, you're wrong.
So we still have a few outstanding from there.
So I said it was Michigan State or like
you did. Yeah, the Michigan State Broncos.
As for myself, I missed our Villanova Wildcats in the FCS semifinal. Sad, as did Michael as well. So, congrats to Illinois State. I hope their run keeps on going.
I don't think it will. I think they're going to die in the FCS title game. Montana State was a banger. Yeah, that was really fun. Montana State took them to the woodshed in the fourth quarter. Oh my God.
They did. All right. So again, like we said, these next set of Sickos picks of the week start on the 24th through the 29th. So I am ready to go when you guys are. If anyone else is ready, we can go to you. If not, I will lead it off.
I said lead it off, Scott.
I think you should go.
All right, let's do this. All right, starting here on, I forget what day this is that I wrote it down. We'll go with the J-Labs Birmingham Bowl, which is Appalachian State 5-7 against Georgia Southern. And gents,
Monday the 29th.
That's on the 29th. Thank you, Joey. And gents, I think I just have to say, if you're a 5-7 bowl team, I'm taking you in the Sickos pick. So give me
App State. Yeah.
Give me App State plus 7.5 against Georgia Southern in the Birmingham Bowl. I mean, on principle, that's who we're taking. Next pick. I need some music for the next pick, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh.
That's right. It's the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl airing on the CW. And I'm going to take our lovely University of Miami of Ohio, I believe they're the Red Hawks, I think, from the MAC, plus 4.5 over Fresno State in the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. So give me the CW underdogs. Thank you, Lee Nobody. So we're going to ride with the CW underdogs in bowl season. And then my final pick of the set of Sickos this week is going to the Rate Bowl, which the Rate is who is my mortgage is through. So cool. So the Rate Bowl, which is featuring New Mexico and Minnesota. New Mexico is a 2.5-point dog. Give me New Mexico on the field. They're playing somewhat of a home game out there in Arizona. So they're closer to Arizona. They will have some retirees from Minnesota come on over to Phoenix to watch the game. I think we can get the Lobos on the board here for the Mountain West. So give me New Mexico Lobos on the field in the Rate Bowl. And that's it.
My mortgage started with Guaranteed Rate, and then they sold it to PennyMac.
Just like every other
anybody wanted to know. Yeah. So anyway. Joey, I'm ready.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. Friday, December 26th. We're gonna go to the Game Above Sports Bowl. Central Michigan's taking on Northwestern. The total in that game is 43.5. Oh, and before I proceed any further, giving the pick, there's going to be a theme here. The total in this game is 43.5. We're going under 43.5 in the Game Above Sports Bowl between Northwestern and Central Michigan. Let's scroll on down here to, oh, same day. Sorry. Rate Bowl. New Mexico, Minnesota. Total is 43.5. We're going to go under 43.5. Okay.
Hey, I have a question. Are all of these totals 43.5?
UConn and Army are playing in the Wasabi Fenway Bowl Saturday, December 27th. The total in that game, Scott, is 43.5. We're going under. Ladies and gentlemen, I have something to present to you for a title of said picks here. I'm done, by the way. Those are my three Sickos picks. This is the triple parlay. This is the BC podcast, ACC basketball conference, the ACC football podcast, triple barrel parlay triple of the barrel. Year. You can get under 43.5 in all three of those games at plus 605 on FanDuel.
43.
Get out. Leave your own show.
I keep trying to like kick my 6-year-old out of my house when he does that, but my wife tells me I can't. So,
wow, you can't claim him on your tax returns if you do that. Under 43.5, all three of those games, plus 605 if you parlay it on FanDuel. You bet your ass I did. $5 to win 35.28. Let's go.
I love that. All right. I'm going to start in the JLab Birmingham Bowl as well. I'm going to join Scott on App State plus the 7 against Georgia Southern.
Let's go.
Double barrel.
As, let's see, Will Secor noted, and Dennis and Will Secor both in the comments here talking about this game. Will Secor notes that's not only a conference game, that's a rematch. That is a rivalry game that these two teams played like a month ago. This is a 2-point game in Boone. And so they're going to play this game again. This is a situation where, again, as mentioned, App State, a 5-7 team, and Georgia Southern was having a hard time like finding an opponent for this game because so many teams kept opting out. And finally they got to their hated blood rivals, App State, and App State's like, yeah, we'll come play that ball game. So, you know, it's a little bit weird seeing a Birmingham Bowl against from Georgia Southern and App State when like last year it was Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt. I don't really know from a conference affiliation standpoint how we got here, but you know, we're here. So give me the points, getting a full touchdown with App State. I will take those points.
Who won the first matchup?
Georgia Southern won 25-23. So this is a close,
even more so.
Yeah, close game in Boone.
Give me the Mountaineers.
That's right. Let's go to the New Mexico Bowl. The North Texas Mean Green taking on the San Diego State Aztecs. Total's 53.5. Give me the over. Both of these offenses can score like hell. That's a really low number for a bowl game. And North Texas had playoff aspirations. They didn't quite make it. Now they're in New Mexico. I mean, maybe there's some opt-out, you know, motivational issue stuff going on here. But both of these – and obviously North Texas' coach is leaving, going to Oklahoma State. Context, as with all these games, but total 53.5 for a couple teams that can score a lot. San Diego State, by the way, kind of a wagon. I'm going to leave that one alone, but over 53.5 in that game for me. And then, I don't know. I thought about the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl on the CW, which just massive ACC energy from this bowl game.
But
not going to do it. Let's go to the Fenway Bowl. UConn taking on Army. Total's 43.5. As Mike said, I'm going to join him on the under there. I think projected temperatures here are about 25 degrees. UConn without a coach going up against Army's offense. I don't think they want none of this, but I think Army might just like grind this thing into a pulp. And this would be like a, I don't know, 28-10 kind of game, and we're out of there. So under 43.5 in that game. I agree.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Sicko's picks of the week.
Double barrel, right? Play the double barrel.
Double barrel. There.
Well, and that's for Army UConn, but we also have double barrel on Georgia Southern, App State. Did he play it the first time?
Yeah.
Maybe? He did? Okay. All right. I'm only, you know, it's late. We do this really late, and my brain is only so functional. Double barrel. Let's see. Those are your Sicko's Picks of the Week. Oh, thing I was going to mention, by the way, if you have Sicko's Picks of the Week and you're listening to this right now,
join the Discord.
Go find the Discord, baby. Go put them on there. Let us know where you're at. What you thinking?
We've got a whole thread of them.
Yeah, we do. There's a whole room for Sicko's Picks of the Week. Go find us there on the Discord. Link is in the description of this show, both on YouTube and in the audio format. So go find us there. Join in the conversation. We'd appreciate that.
Yep.
All right. But for real, that's all I got on this round of bowl previews. Anything else before we work on getting out of here?
Nope.
Sweet. Let's get out of here.
Let's do it.
We're on iTunes. We're on Amazon, Spotify, wherever you go find your podcast in the audio format. Go find us there. YouTube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast. Please hit the subscribe button. If you haven't already, hit the like button. We'd appreciate that. Shout out to the people in the comments with us tonight. It's been a fun group. Appreciate you joining us here late on a Monday night. Find us on Twitter @FTRSJoey, @MikeMcDanielSI, together @BCPodcastACC. Send us an email, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. And I think that's all I got. Will's score saying we need to do awards. We're not doing awards just yet. We might not do them for the Bulls. We'll have to see. We'll see.
I am not prepared.
Yeah, no, that can come later if it's going to come at all. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. Leave it. Leave it. Leave it. Yeah, there you go. I saw the wheels turning. I saw the wheels.
They were. That is what they were doing. They were indeed turning.
Fair enough. You guys want to get out of here, go watch some bowl games, and come back, recap them, and talk about some more?
Yeah. Yep. Dropping. Yeah. I'll leave it alone. I give Bobby Petrino the meat sweats.
Why do they got to call him that for Bobby Petrino? You guys have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all the folks listening.
They should hire Brian Smith, the Ohio coach, to that coaching staff.
It would really keep the whole thing, you know, the theme going, wouldn't it?
It would. It would probably be an improvement. It would improve the coaching staff, too, ironically.
Change the name from the North Carolina Tar Heels to the Silver Foxes or something like that.
More maybe they are getting input from the athletic director.
That's right. That's right. Bubba. All right. Let's go watch some games. Come back and talk about them. How's that sound?
Sounds Bubba's great. Sharon Moore's going to have his own Bubba here soon.
Careful. Careful. All right. For that guy, Mr. Mike McDaniel, for Mr. Producer Scott, I'm Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Enjoy the bowl games. Happy holidays. And until next time, go ACC.